This podcast is a conversation by Julie Benetti and Susan Bobro and is a production of VI Alliance Copyright 2019. And this chart-busting hit, Alone Leave Me, courtesy of New Threads, is available everywhere. As you know, traditionally, the director's cut appears on DVDs and gives you the inside scoop on the actors, the movie, and of course, the directorial process. EI Alliance, in association with Julie Benetti and Susan Bobro, is the first to create the author's cut. For the first time ever, you get to hear the who, what, where, when, why, and how the authors came up with what they wrote directly from the authors. This is revolutionary access to the creative energy and to the creative energy surrounding the authors. Please note, these conversations for the author's cut occurred in 2015, after the authors published Energetic Invocations, a book of vibrational change. Back then, the original recordings were produced with an audio version of the book, read by the authors as well. All copyrights and disclaimers of the book apply to these podcasts. So enjoy, as the authors discuss Energetic Invocations, a book of vibrational change, also known as the Blue Book of Energy, and Energetic Invocations Series, a book of vibrational change, volumes 1 to 17, with Process This. Part 2, Journey. How do I choose to live my life?
Hi, this is Julie Benetti.
And this is Susan Bobro.
And we're continuing with the author's cut of the audio version of Energetic Invocations, a book of vibrational change. We are the authors, and we're in part two, Journey.
So the important thing to understand, what's really important about this part, is that you really need to have who I am down to the point where you can kind of step into who you are, because this is the first step in bringing who I am into the outside world. That occurs through the journey, because the journey, it supports who I am, but you can only support it through events and interactions with the outside world. And that's where journey comes in. And it's through the journey that you're going to be triggered. People are going to, you know, make you question things. People are going to make you question yourself. Don't be surprised if you want to go back to who I am, because wait a second, I think I got it. But, you know, I'm not quite sure. And that might be the beginning part of the journey after you have finished who I am. You've worked really hard. You've come to some clarity and understanding. Well, now it's time to test it. It's time to step out and understand. And you know, the truth of the matter is, everything that comes that makes you question and makes you want to say, damn, this person is making me feel this again. Now's the time to sit back and understand that that journey is not to tell you you're wrong. It's to say, hey, you got this. Let's put it into some more action. Figure out who you are. And not just, you know, just have it in theory. This is putting it into practice. And that's for you. You decide. You designed that. And that's just for you. There's not many things in this world we can say is just for us. I mean, unless you're a multi-millionaire, you know, most people don't have something that they design, a dress or an outfit just for you, or design something just for you. I don't care who you are. This is designed just for you.
And you get to choose how to live your life. You really do.
Once you've cleared all the disconnecting beliefs and you know who you are, then absolutely, you can do anything.
And this is definitely the progression from part one of understanding more and more of accessing your truth.
And not only is it a progression, but it's the way of the world. You know, we come in here, we know who we are. Then you go out there and you have interactions and the journey comes and it questions. Are you sure you think you know who you are? Can you do this? This is not just the journey comes to kind of beat you up. The journey comes for you to experience things and have to really think about who you are and what you want to do. And in many cases, you come back and you're like, wow, can't believe I did that. You know, so when I say that, it's not just the journey's here to beat you down and make you feel like what you believed wasn't true. There are people that will do that. But if you know who you are, you can walk in that journey and you can have any experience and you can have any interaction and you know who you are. It doesn't mean that people aren't going to still bother you. It doesn't mean people aren't going to still try to bully you. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden life is easy. But what happens is you have a new set of tools now, and the journey is your opportunity to go out and start using them. And only by using your tools do you realize really what they can do. They can do things you didn't imagine.
And often we bring up topics in this section about how people defend themselves in their life. without truly living what their truth is. They're just constantly defending and they're taking things personally, which is a very important part to resonate with and be aware of. What are you taking personally and why?
If we go with the idea that journey is there to help you learn more about who you are, to solidify what you've defined as who you are, if you have a lesson or something about yourself that you haven't learned, well, guess what's going to continue to happen? Your journey is going to constantly give you new lessons to try to figure out who you are. And if you don't get it, it's just going to keep coming back at you.
In a cycle.
Exactly. Right. So the minute you start feeling, and you know, we know, you start doing this, you step out and you say, wow, I know who I am. I know what I can do. You step out there, you're going to kind of get trampled on a little bit because people are going to say, you don't know. Let me tell you who you are. And people want to do it. I shake the hand of the person that tells me, hey, at least they're telling me. I'm going to tell you who you are. Mm-hmm. At least it's like, wow, now I know what you're trying to do. But there's many people that do it that aren't as upfront about it. They're very sneaky about it. So I'm like, bring it on.
Yeah, you created this whole trip for you.
Exactly.
To experience these lessons, to move through them, to progress, to understand and be aware of who you are and to live in that space of who you are.
And isn't that freaking cool?
It's amazingly cool.
So cool to do that.
And you start to be good with things you've done. And you're not defending them. And you understand it's coming from your truth.
And the truth is, the other side of it is, the more you do that, the more you can actually appreciate other people. Mm-hmm. You can look at them and you don't have anger. You don't have jealousy. You don't have resentment. It's like you're on a ride on an amusement park and you see someone else like, yeah, it's getting ready to go. Isn't this cool? You're like, but you know, once you get that, you know, and you understand that that's for you, it's not to minimize or to bring you down. It's really to build you up, because once you get it and you start moving through it, you start realizing, whoa, I thought I could do this and that. You could do a lot more. So the journey, again, is individual. There's no other journey that's your specific journey that's out there for anyone else. That's yours. Why not make the most of it and embrace it? There's ups, there's downs. There's times that you give up and you feel like, oh my gosh. And that's okay to take a break. But don't forget what it's about.
Embrace it and have gratitude.
Have gratitude. And understand that guilt is in shame, which is what we also talk about, are really emotions that are not to be taken and to beat yourself up over or stop questioning things. They're there just to remind you, oh, I don't want to do that again. Guilt feels like this. Shame feels like that. I don't like that. I'm not going to repeat. But you don't take it now and personalize it and get caught in a story with it. Otherwise, the lesson's lost. So when you have a lost lesson,
you return to the cycle.
Exactly. So, you know, the one last thing that we really need to mention about journey is everyone has different ideas and beliefs about journey and life purpose and, you know, what you're required to do and what you're supposed to do. And I think the one important thing is that once you understand who I am and you move through your journey and you become more empowered, I just want to end this by saying, do not allow someone else to say, wow, you fill in the blank. Therefore, you are required now to do something with it. You're not required to do anything. Your journey is your journey. And your life purpose may simply be to continue on the journey of self-discovery. And so I simply think that the fact that you are on that journey may simply be your life purpose. You're not required to do anything once you get all of this.
Thank you.
You know what? People are always posting quotes. You don't even know if they're really true.
Or they're quotes that you've read 10,000 times.
Right, and you're supposed to like them. What about quoting from something different and new?
That would be fun.
We did it and took quotes from our Energetic Invocations books and we put it in a quote book.
They're really good.
How do I live when I don't fit in? You can find it on Amazon.
Hey, Susan, what are you grateful for this year?
Oh, I'm so grateful for so many things.
Just one.
I'm grateful for my beautiful family.
Oh, nice. And what about you, Julie?
For that and the wonderful collaborations I get to partake in.
That's awesome.
How about you, Danny?
I'm grateful that there's such a good variety of podcasts to listen to for any day, any mood.
4 podcasts, tons of books, tons of ebooks.
Everywhere.
Part 2, Journey. What can I create with my expertise?
We're in part 2, Journey, expertise.
I'm going to read a quote from the book, which we think is so appropriate for this entire chapter. So if you have a book, it's on page 56. In searching for your expertise, you should begin by examining the one thing about yourself that you would change if you could. Usually that one thing that makes you different, that calls attention to you, and that takes away your privacy and space is the one thing you want to change.
And this is such a really cool quote and a cool paragraph from this chapter, because focusing on your expertise and understanding that it does not mean your occupation, it does not mean your money-making capabilities, it does not mean what others think you should do is very important. The first line, I remember writing this paragraph with you. That first line, it was like, wait a minute, what are we saying here? If you read it over and over again, you'll get the gist of the meaning. That one thing that kind of drives you crazy, all these people wouldn't come up to me, they want to talk to me. All these people, you have to realize that kind of thing that's occurring that you want to change is directly aligned to what your expertise is.
So the other side of this is most of the time in this world, in this society, when someone says, what's your expertise? I'm a carpenter, I'm an accountant, I'm an artist, I'm a writer. That's not what this is about. This actually gets to the core. It's building. We're building on who I am. So what this does, it's not looking to give you a label. If you've come up with a label, you didn't come up with your expertise. You really need to go to a point of, it starts to go into, if you go through who I am and you start letting the ego speak to you, you start to realize what you really like. And that hand in hand with looking at what you might want to change about yourself, because usually what you want to change is the one thing that keeps you from fitting in. So if you look at the one thing that you would change, and then you start to look at that in conjunction with who I am and the work that you have done, you start to get a sense of your expertise. Your expertise really resonates with your living, who you are. Expertise is adding to that. It's bringing another layer to who you are. It is not defining you, especially not defining you with labels that have been given by society. Because unfortunately, if you go down that road, you will now start to define yourself. And if someone tells you, you know, you're really great at this, you should be a teacher, you're going to turn around and say, I don't want to be a teacher. Or all I've ever wanted to do is be a teacher. Well, now you're defining it. And sometimes it's not, you know, the biggest part about this is, you know, there's a little bit of vulnerability to this, because you start thinking about what it is you really want to do and what you're good at and what everyone kind of keeps hinting at you, and it's going to hit you in many different ways. And if you try to define it the way someone who asks you what your expertise is and the way that society defines it, you're going to lose it. Like you're molding something, you're starting to create something, and if all of a sudden, oh, I see, you're making this, now you're stuck making, oh, you're building a bust of a head, you know? Oh, no, maybe I was just feeling the clay, and now I need to make it into a bust because it looks like a head with hair and a... You're not supposed to do that. I know.
But once you're explaining it, you're kind of taking away from, it's your gift. It's for you to play with. You don't have to share it, explain it, tell anyone about it. But once you start to recognize and be aware that this thing that could be driving you crazy about yourself, like whether it be other people approaching you or things occurring, or that's your expertise. And it's not, you know, it can be, but it doesn't have to be defined by you to make money or to have a career or to be your label. It's just your gift. That, and what do you do with the gift? You open it up, you play with it, you create with it, you explore with it, you share it if you want, or you don't. And when you live surrounded by an understanding and awareness of what your expertise is, not defined by others, but how you explore it and how you utilize it, then you start to create change
for yourself. And the biggest key to this is, don't start looking at a career. Don't define your expertise with what career path does this lead me down. Because that, again, is the wrong way of looking at expertise. I'm going to use it, like in the book, we talk about if you're really good with computers. You can be really good with computers and work in an accounting department. You could be really good with computers and go into, you know, web design. Or you don't necessarily have to go and now fix everyone's computer. That doesn't mean that's what it is. So just be open-minded. And again, with that quote, That quote isn't meant to stand alone. That quote that we read about looking at what you would want to change is to be read in conjunction with the work that you've done with who I am. And have fun. Again, have fun with it.
And take it all the way to the eighth invocation, which is really powerful. My expertise creates my world, all the while my world is not defined by my expertise.
Part two, journey. What is my currency?
And we're looking at currency, but not the traditional definition of currency. A whole new definition based on your value.
So in being consistent with the rest of the book, we always look at things a little bit differently. We don't go with tradition, because tradition is what has kept everybody in the cycle that has been. And this book is about breaking cycles, and it's about looking at things differently. So it would truly be in alignment for us to look at it from a different perspective. And it's important to look at it because we're talking about who I am. We're talking about the journey and expertise. Well, part of the journey is interaction. And part of interaction is, in many situations, working through commodities and negotiations and buying and selling things. So to not address the currency, we would be amiss by not addressing it.
And by taking that word that represents other monetary forms and things like that, and taking the word and saying that it really and truly represents how you value yourself and what you allow yourself to receive in those transactions mm-hmm. as your value.
And unfortunately, I mean, the barter system was set up hundreds of years ago. I mean, and the truth is that, you know, we moved from a barter system, you know, with the idea of, you know, using a monetary system, things get easier. We start valuing things and we all come and we have money. It makes going to the marketplace a lot easier. And, you know, with that in mind, well, everything became about money. That's how everything was defined. And what we're saying is not we want to go back to a barter system, but why would one allow somebody else to define what your value is?
Just by money.
Just by money,
right?
Even in the definition of money. Why would I allow someone to define what my worth is? You know, one of the things we're talking about here truly is the true definition of currency. As you said, extends beyond money. If you look at that and you understand it, we all have the same value. We all bring something different to the table. And sometimes you need to look at the fact that maybe what you want is something more than just dollars in your bank account. Not that you don't want that, but...
Right. And what you're saying is really cool, bringing it out of the chapter. What we say in the book, your value is a part of you. And so it's the structure of your natural essence. And of course, it's in every interaction.
And so I think one of the important things, you know, in doing that, in truly valuing yourself, is sometimes dealing with what I first started saying, that don't allow others to value you strictly based on money. And when that does happen, which happens to all of us quite often, we talk about, you know, understanding, get angry, you know, whether you go in and negotiate something and someone kind of backs out of it, or there's a little, you know, weasel clause that they're able to go in and say, oh, well, we really meant this. And you're like, well, no, this is what we discussed. And things happen because there are other people that aren't really in their own truth. And they aren't really looking at value. They're just looking at greed and trying to get money so they can fulfill some insatiable need that they might have. But for you to dance with them in regards to that is a mistake. And one of the things that we said, like in page 65, is, you know, get angry, but don't get caught in the drama. Focus on learning what the lesson was and move on. And then you decide what you want to do. Is this a transaction you want to continue? You want to go back and renegotiate? Or do you want to say, I'm not going to continue with it? But don't let it get in there and start changing your mind said as to what your value and what your currency is. It has nothing to do with that. And I think we tend to do that. Someone comes in and says, I'm not paying you this for that because you're not worth it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pay you so many thousands of dollars a year. I'm only going to pay you that because mm-hmm. that's what you're worth. And we believe them. Then we start to devalue ourselves, and that whole snowball effect is what we're talking about.
And when we devalue ourselves, we're not being true to our value. And in not being true to our value, we don't allow others who value ourselves
right
in the same way and value themselves in the same way into our space.
Exactly. And so I think just part of this is starting to define your value. Don't limit yourself to a dollar figure. There's so many other things that go into it, what you want in your life. Space, time, opportunities, being in possibility, and really working with your expertise and enhancing your expertise. Because, you know, when we get older and people get paid more money as they get older because they're more valued because they have more expertise, that's really what the focus should be. If you continue to work on your expertise, you are by default making yourself more valuable. And it's through that that you will bring yourself into more possibility, more opportunities, and the ability to make more money will come. But that'll be a side plate. That's not going to be the main course. That's just a side dish to it.
And because knowing your value is knowing your currency, and that in and of itself is what's priceless.
Exactly.
Hi, this is Julie here with Susan. What's one of the favorite books that we've written together?
My favorite would be Energetic Invocations because you tricked me into writing it and it wrote itself, and I just was grateful to be a part of it. I like all the books we've written. We've had so much fun, but that's probably my favorite.
What about you? I agree with you. I love Energetic Invocations. The invocations, they're really powerful, and I love the way it slides into the Endra book. So the Endra scripts is really fun. So I agree with you.
Awesome.
Hey, Susan, the other day I was stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
And I sometimes listen to our podcast, not because I want to listen to myself.
You want to listen to me.
Yeah, okay. No, because when I listen, it's like all new, all over again.
Do you ever wonder who said that? And you realize some people say we sound alike. So whenever I hear something that I'm like, I don't remember saying that, I just attribute it to you.
I like that. And there's four shows, so I could be in the car a long time.
And you may just be.
It's a great experience as a writer to get feedback. And when you can turn around and use that feedback to make something even better, that's pretty cool. Susan and I wrote Energetic Invocations, a book of vibrational change. So many readers told us it was an intensely energized experience to absorb the book and integrate the work into their own lives to get clarity. Many asked for real examples to help process the energy. That's how Energetic Invocations series, A Book of Vibrational Change, Volumes 1 to 17, with Process This, was born. And the rest is history. The journey is yours. The energy is yours. What are you waiting for? It's available in paperback and ebook on Amazon.
Part 2, Journey. What is my level of commitment?
And the discussion for what is my level of commitment. The This Is It chapter.
So, you've gone through who I am, you've defined your expertise, you're reviewing your journey, and you've worked through valuing. Now it's time to put up or shut up. At this point, you have made the commitment to yourself. You should be proud of yourself and be happy that you've made this commitment and you have done the work to this point in time. But now is the time that things change. Now it's time you put that in action and you make that a part of your life in everything you do. And with that, it doesn't mean that the outside world is going to necessarily treat you different, but the way that you respond to the outside world is going to be completely different. You now know that there are untruths. You now know who you are, and you now know what you want to participate and not participate in. And so now it's time to be committed to all that you have decided. This is it. And you now you have it within you. It's the, is that so? The Japanese story that you refer to, is that so?
And this is the perfect time to investigate your commitment to yourself and to follow through with it and to strive ahead with it, because you're in your journey. And where else would you be committed?
So here's where I come in and I kind of smack you around a little. You know what? You've made that commitment to yourself. You're aware of untruth. So now you also have the responsibility. I don't use that word often. You now have the responsibility to have commitment to the truth and be committed to the other people that are around you. And by committed, I mean committed to the truth. You no longer provide untruths. You no longer say things that you know are going to put people in a certain position because you know better. So by doing that, if you now have that commitment to yourself and you go out to other people And I'm not saying you entertain their stories, but if you go out there and you try to give them untruths and things to think about that are not beneficial to them, now you're doing it and you have intention behind it. And if that's the case, you really need to go back to who I am. And I'm sure no one at this point who has done this much work will ever be there. But I also do want to let you know that if someone else is doing that to you, it's a reflection on who they are. They have no commitment to themselves. So if you have commitment to yourself, that rings true in everything you do. That's a part of every fiber in your body, in every interaction, in every event, in every word that you use.
So furthermore, if you're showing up for yourself, you're finally committed to progressing ahead with the work with what you're doing and how you're changing your life and how you're investigating your truth and living from that presence of your truth.
So if you're going to do that, and you've made that commitment, then by default, part of showing up for yourself and being committed to yourself is to exhibit that commitment in everything you do. And that means having that commitment to the other people around you, that you now are committed to being truthful in your interactions with them, that you value them and that you're willing to see their expertise. And that doesn't mean that you're now going out and you're going to minister to everybody. It simply means that you know the truth of who you are, and that just is in everything you do, every interaction you have. And if other people aren't doing that, by this point you know it's nothing to do with you. It is a reflection on their commitment to themselves.
Part 2, Journey. What can my experience do for me?
And we are in the possibility chapter, one of my favorites, of course. Because how can there not be possibility everywhere? And not what everybody thinks and says is possibility, because that's not definable as possibility. Possibility is raw, unstructured, and available out there. And as we look at this as the last chapter in part 2, Journey, it's really important because it's kind of like a propelling point as we're traveling and moving through exploring our life and finding the truth. We went through, as we said, part 1, discovering ourself and our truth and who I am and all that other wonderful stuff. And now we're moving through the actual riding and momentum of the journey and opening up the limitless availability of possibility is so important. And understanding that it's everywhere is important as well.
So, I mean, I guess part of it too is we're talking about experience. You know, we're talking about realities and illusions. Some people, I think, say that if this life is just an illusion, then why participate in anything? And my thought is we're not saying don't participate. What we're saying is now you know that. It's like you choose what to participate in.
Right.
You know, you can sit there and if someone's presenting you with something and you say, hey, that would be kind of fun. And so it's an illusion they're creating. So what? Have fun with it. The very end, we talk about stopping the cycle of unhealthy cycles. If you don't like the illusion, then change it and go into another illusion or create your own illusion.
Exactly.
Because if you don't, I will guarantee you one thing. If you don't go out there and decide what role you want, someone is going to have an illusion and they're going to want you to fit a role that they have decided you'll fit in really well. And you'll find that you're being pushed into roles that I don't want this role. I don't want to be the person who's sick. I don't want to be the person who's, you know, left out, whatever the illusion is. But once you have the awareness, now you have an impact on the experience that you can have. It's not about, you know, doing nothing. There are other gurus out there who say, well, yeah, life is an illusion. Nothing's real. And then they leave you feeling like empty. Well, what the heck am I supposed to do? Well, the choice is, if this is the world we're in, why not take control over your experience within it and how you choose to visualize it and be a part of it.
And so you're left with the actions of participating or creating or staying in a story or all these things that you worked hard to clear through by working through the progression of this book.
Well, you start to understand what's out there. You start to understand what people have decided for you. Now it's time to, it's like being the adult now. Now you get to decide for yourself.
And when you're aware to that point, you're clear the rawness of possibility. It's not what other people's possibilities are.
Well, other people's possibilities is what people have offered you. Would you like a bag of chips or would you like a bag of Fritos? Well, maybe I don't want either. I want to sit and eat some grapes. That's your option. So people don't give you possibility. They give you options. It's time to be done with that.
And it's time to have the passion and commitment.
commitment and understand what your experience is and move into, and it's not a vulnerability of possibility, but it's just a limitless possibility.
I keep saying it. Just have fun. Decide what you want to do. You figured out an expertise. Go and have fun with it. Joke around, you know, fool around with it. See what options are out there. Create your own options. You create your options. You don't let them be created for you. And if you're in a situation that is not healthy, that is not in your best interests, you just move out of it.
And you decide and choose your experiences. And thus, you're actually participating in your journey.
In your own life.
Right. Exactly. In your own life is your own business.
Right. So, you know, sometimes there may be people out there who are feeling like, oh my God, they say it, I don't know how to get out of this situation. And if you find yourself saying that, well, I think you need to go back into who I am and understanding, because if it's a relationship-based issue, you know, the next section, we talk about relationships and getting out of relationships, getting out of them healthy, getting out very powerfully, coming out whole. And, you know, we talk about that. So if you're sitting here listening to the saying, that, well, there is more information that's coming out in terms of a relationship, but in terms of who you are, once you start freeing all these chains that people have held you down with, and now you're starting to experience who you are, anything is possible. And that's where you need to stay, because people and events may have patterns and may be predictable. And I love this.
Me too.
The universe is not predictable. So if you feel like you're stuck and you don't know how to have any change because you can't see a change in the situation you are in, remember that the universe is not predictable.
Thank you for listening to this production from EI Alliance. Check out our Amazon authors pages for books and podcasts. Find New Threads music and their latest album on iTunes, Spotify, and newthreads.us.